Joshua chapter 14. This is an incredible text. I'm not going to be able to do it justice. So you're going to need to study it some on your own as well. But Joshua chapter 14, we're going to talk about Caleb. We're going to try to pick up some highlights on Caleb. This text is something else. And so as you go through the book of Joshua, we frequently skip over this part. And so I want you to drill deep into this. So get your Bibles, get your devices, open them up. Joshua chapter 14. There are very few people in this life that follow God fully their entire life. If you're looking for somebody to model your life after, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't be Jesus because he's God. That doesn't work, right? No. You try to be like Jesus, but I can't be Jesus. I can't be Moses because it says to us there's never been somebody like Moses. I don't know that I could be a Joshua. I might try, but I don't know that I could be a Joshua. I would say to you, be a Caleb. I would say to our faculty, to our staff, to those who are visiting today, to all of you students, to my own self, be a Caleb. So what does it mean to be a Caleb? Let's look at what the text tells us, not just in Joshua, but I'm going to have it for you on the screens here. Look at Numbers 14:24 as they put it up on the screen for you. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land which he went. He and his descendants shall possess it. Caleb has a different spirit. What is it that creates a different spirit about Caleb? Because as we're going to see, we want that different spirit. Numbers 32:12 says, none except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And what we're going to realize is that different spirit is wholly following the Lord or fully following the Lord. That different spirit is burning your bridges, is burning the ships, is saying I'm all in, it's giving 100%, it's everything that you possibly have sold out to the Lord. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 1:36. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him and his children, I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. So what was the different spirit that was mentioned in Caleb? What is it that makes Caleb somebody that gets specific space in the book of Joshua, in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit? It's that he fully followed the Lord. It's mentioned six different times in Scripture. Joshua 14, 8, 9, and 14. We'll see those. Numbers 14 and 32 and Deuteronomy 1 that we just looked at, fully followed the Lord, wholly followed the Lord. He was sold out to Christ. So what's your main idea today? Well, there were 12 spies that went up. 10 brought back a negative report. 2 brought back a positive report. 2 went into the land. So if you want God's best for your life, fully follow the Lord. I think these are great words for all of us. If we want what God would want for us, because God's word teaches us how to flourish, how to live the best life we can in this earth, focused on the eternal life that is coming afterwards, then we should fully follow the Lord. You think about your own life, and when you mess up and you start pursuing your own desires rather than God's desires, that's where your life gets shipwrecked. That's when things go off course. That's when things turn bad. And so here we see Caleb was a guy that fully followed the Lord with his whole heart. It's said that way six different times. And what ends up happening in the text that we look at today is he takes the land. He goes in and he destroys the giants. Now, time out. This is an 85-year-old man who is taking on the giant of all giants. At 85, do you want to be able to take on the greatest giants that Satan has to offer and win? Yeah. So fully follow the Lord. Sold out to him. Okay, great, let's do it. But it's not easy. So when we fully follow the Lord, here's what our outline's going to be. This is what we're going to see in this text today. We're going to see one that it has, you have to have conviction to take a stand. We'll see it. You'll look at it in a minute. You're going to see two, consistently walking by faith. This is the hard one. This is the one where many of us fail. This is the hard part. You're going to see confidence to be bold for God. Perhaps your fear of failure keeps you from having that. But this is what he had, was confidence in the Lord. It wasn't his own ability, it was in what the Lord was doing. And all of those then results in an example to be followed. So I'm going to read the text and we're going to walk through it. So we're going to look at Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse We'll pick it up in verse 6. If you would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word if you're able? We'll read verses 6 through 14. Chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." It's the second mention. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he has said, these 45 years since the time when the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day when Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill. Give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there and the great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord has said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became an inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, the giants, and the land had rest from war. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just help me to do the text justice, Lord. I pray that you'd help my words to be consistent with your word. I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that your spirit would speak to all of us. I pray that we would be challenged to see the great example you've given us in Caleb and to model that in our own lives, not for our glory, but for yours. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. All right, so we dive right in. Conviction to take a stand. Look at point number one, conviction to take a stand. We see in Joshua chapter 14, 6 through 9, he says to him, he reminds him, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." He went into the land. He spied out the land. He saw the great and fortified cities. He saw the giants. He saw that they were grasshoppers. He came back and he had the conviction to take a stand against the other 10 who brought a negative report, and he brought a positive report. He says, "I brought him word again as it was in my heart." The heart here, the center of your being, the emotions, your thought processes, all that you are, he was devoted to the Lord. And then he said, "But my brothers who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt." Now right here, the word heart being mentioned back to back twice should make us think, because we've walked through the book of Joshua. Do you remember that mentioned anywhere else? Do you remember Rahab when she talked about giving the report to the two spies and she said the heart of the people had melted? Do you remember in chapter 5, verse 1, where the kings then, their heart had melted? Caleb came back with the conviction to take a stand. And when he took that stand, he said, "I want to do what the Lord is. I want to follow the Lord fully." And so on that day, Moses said to him, "Surely, the places where your foot has trodden, that's going to be an inheritance for you and your children forever because you have fully followed the Lord." But look at what it says in verse 6. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which it mentions in our text three different times, and he says the Kenizzite. Now, why does it go into this detail here? Well, we don't know with 100% certainty, but it's very likely that he was not originally from Israel. The Kenizzites are actually mentioned in the land back when Abraham was being addressed in Genesis. It's likely that he was not an Israelite. And so here we see in this book that you have Rahab. We see in this book that you have others. And then you come to Caleb, who is held up as an example, who is not somebody who naturally should be into this example, but somebody that the nations had been extended grace to and had responded to it. And so we see here Caleb responding by wholly following the Lord. You may be sitting here this morning and you may know that your mom or your dad or somebody else, they're not walking with the Lord. You're on your own. Well, here is Caleb. He didn't have the same heritage. He didn't have the same family. And yet he stood up and said, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. And so I would challenge every last one of us in this room. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what mistakes you make. It doesn't matter who mom and dad is. It's up to you. Wholly follow the Lord. Listen to me now. God does not have spiritual grandchildren. Your mom and dad may be incredible believers and followers of Christ, but what you do with Jesus is up to you. We cannot force you to believe in Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus, to learn to walk with Christ. We can pray for you. We can desperately long for you to make your faith your own, but you can even sit in a greenhouse like this, where a Bible minor is put before you, and you can completely ignore the feast that may be in front of you, and you can walk in your own way. And I have concerns if that's where you are, because we want you to learn to walk with the Lord and to wholly follow the Lord. And we got a lot of guests here this morning, and some of you may show up next fall to Cedarville, and some of you may not. And wherever the Lord sends you, my challenge to you is wholly follow the Lord. Friends, if the Lord sends you to a secular university, oh God, I pray that you would have the conviction to take a stand. He had a conviction to take a stand, and he did so. He owned his faith. He fully followed the Lord. He brought back the minority report. He dared to disagree. Here we see what Numbers says about it. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33 says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. What in the world is the difference between Caleb, who says, we're well able to overcome this, and all of the other people who says, no, we can't do it? The other men who went up in verse 31 says, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. So they brought to the people a bad report to the land, and they had spied out, saying, the land through which we went to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. So we seem to them. I don't even know if I really know what this means, but I've seen it in basketball. I think it means too small. And so I think what they would be doing is they would be walking around doing this number, which, don't do that. That's a little bit prideful, but too small. Like, you can't guard me. Too small. I'm short, so I don't like it. But if you're tall, don't do that. Just too small. That's what they did. You're too small. You can't guard me. But Caleb says, I'm not looking at the problems of the society. I'm looking at the greatness of my God. I'm not looking at the difficulties in front of me. I'm looking at my deliverer. And when he looks and he knows that the Lord is with him, he says, friends, we can go and we can conquer. And he brings back a different report. It almost got him killed. In Numbers 14:10, it says they picked up stones to stone him, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. He had the conviction to take a stand. So I say to all of you, do you have the conviction to take a stand for the Lord your God? Do you wholly follow the Lord? Don't be arrogant about it. Don't be obnoxious in the way you do it. But do you have a conviction to stand up and say, this is the truth of Scripture? So point number two, he consistently walked with the Lord. I think this is the hardest. I actually think sometimes in those moments where we know that there's a report coming and we know that there's something going down here, I think some of us, I think we could bow up. I think even sometimes in our own strength, we can stand up and we can say, no. Here I will stand. I will do no other. This one, the next one, is the one that I think trips most of us up. He consistently was walking by faith. So point number two, consistently walking by faith. Look at what the text says in verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Okay, now that may seem like a small matter, but that's not a small matter because you remember everybody, it was over the age of 20, except for Joshua and Caleb, had died. So it's like looking around at all of your friends right now, and then only one of them's left because all the rest of them have died. This is a big deal that God kept him alive just as he said he would. And we know that we've even called this series Every Single Word because in the book of Joshua, it's really about God keeping his promises, every single word, all of the land promises. And God said to Caleb and Joshua, I'll keep you alive. I'll bring you in. He's done the first part. He's kept him alive. So based off the fact that God has kept his promises, then let's take additional action. The Lord kept him alive just as he said. How long? Say 45. All right, let's say it again. All right, are you ready? One more time. 45. How many of you out here are 45 years old? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you out here are 85 years old? Raise your hand. Do we have anybody? I don't see a hand. 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses. Can I just be real with you? If I told you today, you walk with the Lord and 45 years from now, you'll get your reward, what would most of you say? No thanks. It's hard enough to walk with the Lord consistently for 1,000 days, isn't it? How many of you get disappointed because you don't get your way? Think about where he is. Caleb, he's part of the 12. He goes. He makes his report. He stands bold. He doesn't get his way. They don't win the day. They almost get stoned. Do you get mad at God? What happens when you don't get your way? Here's what tends to happen when I don't get my way. I go and sulk about it. I go and complain to others. I can't believe I didn't get my way, Lord. What's going on? Lord, why in the world did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen to me? What's going on? Are you really even up there? Are you on your throne? How many times do we question the Lord anytime things don't go our way? And here we've got an example put before us today who consistently walked by faith, even though he didn't get his way. And 45 years later, oh, faculty member, if you're wondering, am I making a difference? 45 years of consistently walking in class and teaching the students and loving the students and praying for students, you will set an example that will be replicated for generations to come. Here, he was consistently walking by faith. This is the hard part. 45 years since the time the Lord spoke. Is he still trusting? Yeah, he's wholly following the Lord. 45 years since the Lord spoke to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness, he's been eating the same manna. He's been drinking the same water. And yet he's wholly following the Lord. And now behold, this day I'm 85 years old. I'm still as strong as I was the day that Moses sent me in. Now there's a miracle of the Lord. You don't understand it yet because you're 18 to 22. When you're 45 or 51, you will understand you're not the same strength you were when you were 20 years old, and you don't feel the same way you did when you were 20 years old. Everything aches more and it takes longer to heal. Everything is harder to do the older you get because the Lord is prying your eyes away from this world and he's turning your eyes towards eternity and he's getting you set for what's to come. For him to still have the same strength is incredible. I'm still as strong today. My strength now is as it was then for war and for going and for coming. So now give me the hill country. I want that the Lord spoke of for that day. He's ready. He's been faithful for 45 years. Would you do that? What does it take to be like Caleb? Every morning we get up. We wake up in the morning and we ask the Lord, Lord, this day, help me to be a faithful steward of the opportunities you've given me. Help me to serve you well. Help me not to blow it. Help me to have eyes to see what you want me to accomplish this day. No Bible, no breakfast. We read the word. We pray. We seek the face of God. We walk through that day seeking to be an encouragement to others and to live for God, not seeking to be out for ourselves. We go to bed that night. We say, Lord, you know, I messed up in a couple areas. Would you forgive me? Would you help me to do better tomorrow? Lord, I want to serve you well. I want to meditate on your word day and night. I want to be a faithful Christian. I want to be a faithful church member. I want to go every Sunday and I want to serve and I want to help others. I want to be a faithful husband or wife. I want to be a godly father or mother. I want to be somebody that others can depend on, a good friend. I want to walk with Christ each and every day in the ordinary. And we start off in that journey and we get over here and we say, I'm committed and I'm going to do it. And day one, we do it. And for 45 years, we put one foot in front of the other. What'd you do today? Just a faithful Christian. What'd you do today? The Lord give you a mountain today? No. I got up and I loved my people. I loved the Lord. I encouraged others. I read my Bible. I worship the Lord because he's worthy. Whether I get the mountain or whether I don't, I worship the Lord because he's worthy. Friends, this is the hardest lesson of the Christian life, is that it will require you to consistently walk by faith for years before you may see the promises answered or the prayers answered. Are you willing to be a Caleb who wholly followed the Lord, who put those spiritual disciplines in life and just kept living it out? All right, point number three, the confidence to be bold for God. Look at what it says in Joshua 14:12. It's almost like he gets to that point and he's building up. He's given the justification. So, all right, it's been 45 years. I'm ready. I'm just as strong. I'm not too old for this. Let's go do it. It's time. Okay, so he's not as sinful as I was. But let me insert myself into this. If I were one of the two that came back with a positive report to the 12, right about now I would be saying, hey, come on. Let me go prove I was right back then. It's time to go take them out. I told you we could do this. Now let's go get it done. So now give me the hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim, the giants, were there with great fortified cities. Don't forget that part. It's not just the giants. It's great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me. Here he's giving credit to the Lord. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said, every single word. So what happens? Well, it doesn't tell us here, but it does in the next chapter. In the next chapter, chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, it says, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion of the people of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the father of the Anak, and Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, and it names them, not just one, not just two. He took out three of these giants, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. So Caleb is saying, give me the fortified cities in the name of the Lord. With the Lord's help, we're going to go take it. The name of Hebron is mentioned here. I'll come back to that. It was formerly Kiriath Arba because Arbath was the greatest among the Anakim, is what we're told. So Caleb, 85 years old, 45 years walking with the Lord, he says, give it to me. I want to take out the greatest of all the giants. There's three of them. We're going to take them out. We're going to take this for the Lord because the battle belongs to the Lord. Hebron. You know, that's a place where Caleb's former people, the Kenizzites, could have been. Sarah, Abraham's wife, died there. Abraham purchased a field containing the cave there. Abraham was buried there. So was Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob, and eventually Joseph's bones, which they brought up from Egypt. Hebron was the closest thing they had to a sacred site. And he said, give me this hill, I want to take it. Now, I don't typically recommend that you watch R-rated movies. I usually only watch R-rated movies if they have historical value. And so one of my favorite historically valuable R-rated movies is The Patriot. Just joking, I don't know that The Patriot is historically accurate in any way whatsoever, but how many of you have seen The Patriot? Do you remember Mel Gibson? Do you remember the scene where Mel Gibson is, oh, there's so many good scenes in that movie, but do you remember the scene where they're all retreating? And everybody's retreating, and it's the end of the movie. And Mel Gibson grabs that flag, and he begins to wave the flag. He drops everything else. He begins to wave the flag and he begins to charge up the hill. No, don't give up, don't retreat. And he's taking the hill. Give me this hill. Friends, this is so much bigger and more important than that, where Caleb says, friends, it's time now. We have defeated all the others. You remember the last sermon that we had where it talked about they didn't drive them out. They didn't drive them out. They didn't drive them out. But God had promised. And it's almost as if Caleb is grabbing it and saying, give me the toughest spot. Give me the fortified cities. Give me the giants. Let's go. We're going to do this in the name of the Lord. With the Lord's help, we are going to take the hill, because God has promised every single word he will deliver. And I say to all of you in your life, don't sit there and think God can't do it. God can do it. And if he's called you to it, he will allow you to do incredible things for his glory. Take the hill. Give me the hill country. I want the fortified cities. I want to team up with 8 to 10 other people, and I want to be part of the Synergy Initiative, and I want to go plant a church somewhere in a city that needs a gospel witness. And Lord, let me be in a church that is a light on a hill, that is a beacon, that is a gospel witness to win that city for Christ. Let's go take Pittsburgh and Boston and Salt Lake City, and let's not waste our lives doing nothing. Let's go do something big for the Lord. Caleb is here saying, give me the hill. I'm going to take it. You know what happens when we do that? It results in an example to follow. I don't even know why we're giving this, but we're giving it. In Joshua chapter 15, verses 15 through 19, it says he went up from there. He could have just ended the story, right? It's a good story. Caleb's the man, the Kenizzite. An outsider. Oh, this is a Hollywood story. An outsider comes in and he takes the hill. When others don't, he's wholly following the Lord. When others doubt, when others make peace with their sin, he's saying, no, I'm taking it. But then in verse 15, he says he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. All right, that's not enough. Let's do more. Now, the name of Debir was Kiriath-Sepher. And Caleb said, whoever strikes Kiriath-Sepher and captures it, to him I will give Achshah, my daughter, as wife. Okay, we don't do this in modern times. I get it. This is a little awkward. But you see what he's doing here, right? He's saying, all right, man up. You want my daughter? Go take this city. I can see this. You want to marry my daughter? Man up. Show me you can get a degree and get a job and go do things that aren't on Xbox. Yeah, I can see that. And so here he says, you want my daughter? Go take the city. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb. All right, this is a little awkward too, all right? I am from South Carolina. This is even awkward for us. Our family trees are pine trees. It's all good though. Don't you talk. Some of you are from West Virginia. Right, Chris? All right, I'm just kidding. Othniel, this is the medicine talking, just forgive me. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, so his nephew, captured it, and he gave him his daughter's wife. And then look, she came to him, and she urged him to ask her father for a field. She got off her donkey, and Caleb said, what do you want? And she said, this is the boldness of Caleb. Give me the mountain. I want to take it. Give me the fortified cities. I'm taking down the giants. His daughter says, give me a blessing. You see this being passed on? Since you have given me the land of the Negev, which is dry, give me also a spring of the water. And he gave it to her. Caleb was an example to his nephew, Othniel, a life that was transformed. This is what we try to do here. Faculty and staff try to set an example. Upperclassmen try to set an example. We try to disciple so that lives are transformed by God's grace through his word for his glory. Caleb's an example to us too. We should follow this. We should emulate this. But he's not just an example to us. We don't just see the boldness in his daughter. We see it in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God. They served the Baals and the Asheroth. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. He sold them into the hand of the Cushan, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, the king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served for 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, here's that cycle. They rebel. They end up going through the judgment of God. They cry out to the Lord. The Lord raises up a deliverer. Who's the first deliverer raised up in the book of Judges? But when the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people who saved them, Othniel. Oh, we've heard that name before. The son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, just in case you thought it might be somebody with the same name, but a different person. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war. And the Lord gave the king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed over them. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel died. Here's what I take from this. Caleb was not only an example to us, he was an example to everybody around him. 45 years of faithfulness. The willingness to do bold things for God. So what's your application here? Here's your application for today, for right now. How do you respond when life doesn't go your way? Oh, I didn't get the internship I wanted, or I didn't get into the grad school I wanted. I know that doesn't happen frequently around here, but it happens. I didn't get the job I wanted. I didn't get the date with the girl I wanted. Ooh. The guy never asked me out. I didn't get the spot on the music team. I'm not the starter on the sports team. Things didn't go my way. I'm done. I'm out. Or do you respond like Caleb responded? I didn't get my way. The vote went against me. 45 years of one foot in front of the other. No Bible, no breakfast. Reading the word, meditating on the word day and night, seeking to serve the Lord. How are you going to respond? Second thing I would say to you is be bold for God. The Lord can use you to do things that you can't yet imagine. Don't waste your life. You can make a difference in your local church, in a city, in your given vocation. You can make a difference on this campus right now. So be bold for God. You look out at the problems. Are your eyes on the difficulties in your life, or are they on the deliverer? Joshua and Caleb saw the same challenge as everybody else did. They saw the fortified cities, they saw the giants, they saw everything else, but they came back with a different spirit because they wholly followed the Lord. Will you come back with a different spirit even though the majority doesn't? Do we measure our enemy by our own strength or by God's strength? So I remind you, God is faithful, we can trust him. So what's your main idea for your life? From this text, if you want God's best, fully follow the Lord. And realize, dear friends, you're loved. Not only by us, but by a God who loves you infinitely and wants you to flourish in this life for his glory. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize the model that you've given us in Caleb. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live a life that is not wasted, a life that is served well for your glory. Lord, help us to live a life of conviction. Help us to live a life, Lord, where we are consistent in our walk with you. And help us to live a life where we're confident in you so that we can be bold. In Jesus' name, amen.